Sir.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 56-6 to award Linco Technology, Inc. the annual software maintenance for a total of $3,270. Before I go any further, I wanted to explain why this is coming in so late, past due, so to speak. There's two pieces to it. The sewer authority, who uses this software, had made a purchase. They increased the license and functionality. So the bid, Linco is very good at getting us the bids in plenty of time to get the 60 days notice. But in this case, the quote became invalid, and it had to be resubmitted. We didn't get it till the beginning of July. More importantly, because our process is still somewhat manual, this actually was done right after we got the quote, and it was literally lost in the mail, the interoffice mail. Mostly because it's a manual process. It was also due to the fact that we were in the midst of moving out of Draper, so some boxes were getting moved, and a box got on top of the envelope, and the mail delivery gentleman did not see it, and thus until we were actually moving, when I lifted the box and saw the envelope, wasn't the point where I found it. Linco itself is used by the sewer department for pretreatment compliance tracking and remote inspection, documentation, and recording. And this award, if granted, would take us from the period of August 1st, 2019 through July 31st, 2020.
So, you know, I appreciate you coming to the mic with that. I'd also note for the record that you had discussed that with me.
Yes, ma'am.
Recently. Is there a procedure in place that when somebody delivers mail from one department to the other that, you know, somebody signs and says, hey, I got it?
No.
There isn't.
In this particular process, one of the deficiencies that this uncovered is when I submit something in our office, it goes over to finance, it's recorded, and things progress, it goes over to purchasing and the bids put together, and I get notification, oh, by the way, these are the bids that are going to be on the docket. That's the first time I see that it made it through the process. We do own the bid package for Munis, and we are going to be discussing it. I've already added it to the agenda for our technology review steering committee meeting coming up, that there are probably things we can put in place even before we start to adopt the use of the Munis module for bid processing that could give us what you're talking about, some workflow trackability. So we would be, hey, I sent this and I didn't see it hit step one and it's been 2 weeks, something's wrong.
But I think the point is that we have a person, multiple people, delivering mail, for lack of any other description, from one department to the other. So what's happening here? We open a door, we drop the mail on the counter, and if somebody's there, great. If nobody's there, maybe I delivered it, maybe somebody got it, maybe it got lost under boxes.
There's in and out boxes in each department.
Oh, I see. There's in and out boxes in every department.
Marked designated areas, yes.
I'm going to have to take a look in our own department and see if we have an in and out box. And do you say that's something that you're working on with?
Yes.
Whomever?
The department heads, yes.
On that inter-office mail thing?
Certainly for the bid package, yes.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Item 2020-142, excuse me, purchase of CAT 440 backhoe, found on page 45.
Public Works is requesting to purchase a new backhoe for the water department. It would replace a 2002 John Deere backhoe that has exceeded the usefulness for the water division. It will be repurposed to the highway division. The water division uses this machine for water main break emergencies, hydrants, road prep work, and snow removal. It's immediately available, and there is also a significant discount offered under the government pricing of $66,100. So the total cost of the machine is $121,400.
And this is for a new backhoe?
Yes.
And you have a note in here. It should be noted that the manufacturer has indicated that there will be a price increase on their equipment in the next 30 to 45 days. Is that something that you received? Is that something you received from them in writing?
Matthew Salito, Department of Public Works Director. Actually, I think my automotive chief got that in writing as well as verbal when we were tossing around the idea of grabbing another backhoe to replace the aging one that's in the water department. But I can certainly get it in writing if you'd like.
Please, yeah. And if you could, Matt, going forward, when you have items like that, that I'm sure by now, people are going to know, I'm going to ask the question, or one of us are going to ask the question, if you got it, where is it? We want to see it. Because we need to defend it. We're not challenging the department heads or saying, well, you know, it's not true, you don't have it. We need to defend it. And what we need is something in our hands to defend it. So help us out with that. Send it to us. You got it. Okay, fine. I believe you. And by the way, I also did some research on this. I asked you to send me specifications on some equipment. I did some research on this. And yeah, from my research, whatever it's worth, that's a good number.
Probably saving close to 20 grand.
It's a good number, Yes. And I've seen, let me put it this way, I didn't see any number cheaper, but I did find numbers, in some cases, much higher. So that's a good number. But just send us that document. And in the future, please include this. What may not seem significant, it is to us because we get to defend how we vote. Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 2020-143, purchase of a used Mack. Purchased used Mack side loader. And that is found on page 48.
Department's requesting to purchase actually two 2018 Mack side loaders. We'd like to amend the amount. There was a typo in the letter and therefore on the resolution. The vehicles are $280,000 each, not $180,000, which would make the total contract award $560,000.
So, Christy, this was another one. I appreciate Matt, as well as yourself. You sent us emails earlier in the week telling us in advance of this era. I've been kind of trying to figure out how many hands touched the documents that put forward the numbers all the same in different areas, but nothing was picked up as a $300,000 or whatever the number is, $200,000 error. Tell us how, I mean, was it just a simple typo that was repeated? Was it, you know, two or three people looking at this and, you know, nobody saw it and then all of a sudden it was discovered? Just explain it to us.
Matthew Salito, Department of Public Works Director. So I guess the fault would have to lie with me. If I gave Pat, Christy, or Joanne, or anyone a number that said $100 and I was off, that would probably be it. I may have conveyed $180 instead of $280, and that's what they wouldn't know the difference between a $180,000 vehicle or a $280,000 vehicle. So I would have to say the error would be mine. Sorry, I am sorry about that. Once I noticed it and clarified it, I just wanted to make sure that you guys got it out as quickly as possible. So if the price of it was double and I gave them the wrong information, it could go through the entire system and they wouldn't know the difference, you know, equipment-wise, what they were putting forward.
Okay, so what happens is this request was submitted in writing to purchasing. They do whatever magic they got to do with it, and it comes into our bid package.
Right, so they had that magic from me is what it comes down to.
Okay, so you had initially, you had sent in a request for $180,000 for two of these used automated vehicles.
Correct.
And when I was researching some of this further today, I contacted you because I didn't see an invoice or a quote, I should say,
correct,
in our binder to back up the cost of each one of these vehicles. And it was, you know, in a timely fashion, a few hours later, you sent me a copy of a quote, right?
Yes.
So my question is, why was that quote dated today? I just noticed that just before I came here tonight. The quote is dated today. Did we get a quote on this before?
We did get a quote on it before.
In writing?
Mm-hmm. So these vehicles are used vehicles. They're currently in service. If you remember, we had bid these maybe just over a year ago when I first started, and that was for Peterbilt came back, and they were $305,000. And I believe it was this committee that asked me, you know, why are you pulling the bid, Matt, if you're in dire need of these trucks? And I said, they're not suitable for the city. We find that this vendor, in particular the cab and chassis, was not adequate for our needs. So we had pulled them, kind of suffered through it a little bit, and we have been trying to research on how to get these vehicles quicker. I have done hours on a Saturday and a Sunday trying to contact vendors to get a used low-mileage truck since they take a year to get in. So with respect to the quote, you know, it was a verbal quote. I sent my guys to go look up there, and then we had something in writing. I thought I had forwarded it to you, but, again, probably a mistake on my part.
So send me the quote that you have that predates September 4th quote. Can you get me that?
What's that?
Send me the quote that predates September 4th.
Sure.
Okay, so I can have that also for my records. Listen, I'm not disputing the fact that you need the equipment. I'm not blind. You know, I see your trucks on the road.
Yeah.
I stop and I talk to the drivers for a multitude of reasons. Each one of us are getting calls about trash delays, no pickups, et cetera, et cetera. I pulled up alongside of one of your trucks the other day, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm saying, this thing's pretty sad. Hmm. But, Matt, also, in your position, particularly with your experience and with your enthusiasm and that of your staff, I'm going to put it out there. I don't think I have to suggest it, but I'm going to. A really good preventive maintenance program. Because what I visibly see on these trucks is just nobody's hosing it down. Nobody's washing it. You know, they're old maybe, perhaps, but they're rusty. And, you know, those things break down. You're in a tough environment. It's a tough job, et cetera. But, you know, I'm looking to you and your staff and your abilities to come up with a really good, if you haven't already established one, maintenance program.
Actually, Councilman, we have. So we instituted weekly driver logs to figure out what was wrong. And in a perfect world, if we do get these two vehicles, we'll be able to take one out of service, go through it, and rotate the fleet through. With respect to the cleaning, I think four or five times this year, I've had guys come in on a Saturday, do five to six vehicles, head-to-toe cleaning, popping the cabs. These two vehicles in particular have automatic greasers on them, which is going to prolong the longevity of the trucks. maybe another toy to break on the truck, but I'm going to give it a shot.
And as you've done numerous times in the past, sometimes the recent past, we appreciate you picking up a used vehicle instead of coming to us telling us that you have to have two brand new vehicles. And we appreciate that as well. Just be really cognizant of what we require for paperwork. And I'm not going to mention the name of any particular drivers, but I just want to acknowledge that you have one particular driver. The truck is amazing. We'll just leave it like that. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, any questions? Nope. Councilman McAllister, then Councilman Howe.
Thank you. And Director, I just want to commend you as well for going out and finding these two trucks. This is a definite immediate need that we need here in the city. You have laid out in our binders here how much it's been costing on for the repairing the trucks that we have now, the overtime, the cost of taking the trucks offline when they could be out picking up the trash. So this is a very good investment. I appreciate the time and effort that you put in into this, and I look forward to supporting this tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Director, I just have a quick question, kind of going on with the chairman questioned. I apologize. The do you guys have a pre-shift, a post-shift, or maybe even once a week preventative maintenance checklist that your drivers go through, such as checking the hoses, checking the oil fluids, the hydraulic fluids?
We do. So our drivers do a daily inspection, which would be anything for safety. They'll check for any loose belts, hoses. They'll write a report weekly, submit it to the automotive division, and that'll be brought in. So the problem some of the times is if we don't have enough trucks to spare, it kind of gets, if it's not a safety issue, and I want to reiterate that, if it's not a safety issue, it might get pushed back a little and we'll say, okay, we'll limp along with that hose that we know is frayed or whatever. But and my hopes would be this year to get a couple new trucks. Like I said, take one off the road, go through it, and then kind of build the fleet back up a little bit over the next several years, because we definitely need it. I mean, these things are great on the road. They almost never break down, but keep in mind, they have to go all the way to the top of the Johnston landfill to dump. Yeah. They have D8s up there, which are track machines, and these guys are expected to drive on a garbage road, no pun intended. Right. And sometimes they're being pulled out. So if they're being pulled out with a chain, you can imagine the amount of hydraulics that are underneath that vehicle that are being dragged through the mud, swill, and all of that. So they take a beating.
I can believe it. And I want to end it with this. I want to thank you and your department. Every time I go there and I go to speak to you, one of the things I've noticed is how organized it is. And I know you and your department have implemented so many, whether it be maintenance or just basically track keeping. And every time I ask you, hey, can I go see something, you always take me in and show me. And I got to say, big change from what I remember about 2 years ago. So thank you.
Well, with that being said, I'd like to put you on a route. You still have your CDL from the military or no?
Say again, I'm sorry.
Do you still have your CDL from the military? I'd like to put you in a truck as a driver.
Sure, why not? Okay. I don't think, yeah.
You'd have to put an M60 on it, though. Matt, I can certainly relate to a frayed fluid hose.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can relate to that. Speaking from experience, just want to remind you, too, about that particular location, okay? Mm-hmm. I get it, and I appreciate the aggravation that these folks go through at the landfill. Any other questions? Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? I'm sorry, from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion to approve two, not one, two.
I make a motion to amend the contract award as well to $560,000 for two Mack side loaders.
PCR.
Hold on. Brian?
If I could just, the next page in your docket and in the agenda is language from bond council, because this is going to lease purchase. That section will need to be amended as well, just to reflect the amended price.
Okay. Just Slow down. So we got to amend the contract award from 360 to 580, correct? Come on up. Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you, Brian. Okay, so we're going to need to do PCR on that one there. It'll be 138.19.
Is that item number 12, Mr. Chairman?
Item number 12 is going to be 138.19. This isn't easy. But it's worth it for two trucks.
So we're going to, yes, make a motion to amend the contract award number to $560,000, and also to amend the note number two to reflect the $560,000.
Seconded.
Okay, so we have a motion, we have a second on PCR 138.19, amend the monetary amount to $560,000, and also amend in item number two, where it states, be it further resolved that, amend the amount from $360 to $560. I need a motion on the amendment.
Favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second on the amendment. I need a motion favorable as amended. Say what? Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then I move favorable action as amended.
Seconded.
That's what I said. Favorable action as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all. Did such a good job. Okay. Item 2020-144. That is found on page 50. Major.
Good evening. Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. The department is seeking an exception to bid and authorization to purchase a police canine. In 2012, the police department reestablished its canine unit. For several years, the unit had great success with two dogs. These dogs were responsible for numerous successful tracks of suspects and missing persons, to include children with autism and adults with dementia. The dogs are trained to conduct building searches and in certain crowd control techniques. In addition, the dogs are trained to detect narcotics. Since 2012, cash seizure totals are over $1.5 million. In 2018, Officer Wells retired along with his canine partner, Fox, leaving our canine unit with only one dog. The police department is seeking to fill this vacancy, returning the unit to two dogs. We are requesting Connecticut Canine Services to make this purchase. This is the only breeder in the area that maintains an on-hand stock of dogs, allowing the officers to test and work with the dogs before selection. In addition to traditional health guarantees, Connecticut Canine also guarantees that the dog is trainable as a police canine. No other kennel in the region offers this guarantee. This will be a one-time purchase, not to exceed $8,200, and funding would come from federal asset forfeiture.
Do very well with that federal asset forfeiture thing. That's a tongue-twister thing here. Major, these canines are some pretty amazing animals.
They sure are.
An extremely impressive part of your team and what all the officers do and the job that those canines perform. It's pretty impressive. So I, myself, am very happy to support this. How many dogs do you maintain in total?
Two.
Just two?
Right. We currently have one, but normally two.
And is there two officers, one officer assigned to each dog?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And in totality, tell us that amount again that these canines are responsible for.
Since 2012, it's over $1.5 million. It's close to $1.6 million. And I have additional stats on the different types of narcotics if you're interested.
Are there other officers trained for canine?
No, just the two that would be with the dogs.
Has that always been
Yes.
par for the course? Is
yes.
Two?
Yep. The dog has to bond with that one particular person.
Right. I'm impressed. Any questions from members of Councilman Howe?
Thank you, Chairman. Major, so I'm just going to, I know that you made a comment. You said you have two dogs, but one's been active, and that's because Canine Viking is recovering from cancer?
That's correct. Canine Viking has retired, and we have Canine Gary, who is now with Officer Steer. He's already in place. Last year, Officer Wells retired and was Canine Fox. Yeah, was retired now as well.
Yes. Is Viking, I understand, due to his age, he's retired.
He's retired.
Is he completely healed from
yes.
the
he's
cancer?
He's enjoying a doggy retirement.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good for him. He's earned it. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Major. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilwoman Travis.
I believe Councilman Howell just questioned that one about Fox that retired last year.
Yes.
So basically, is that the idea? You want two dogs because Fox left last year and Viking this year?
We'd like to stay with two.
We'd like to have two because I
yes.
know we've got Gary, so this would be the new one coming
Correct.
In.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. We're absolutely delighted to bring a new member to the police department. That's going to help generate us $1.7-8 million in a very short period of time. Any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Major. Item 2020-145, replacement light for Patuxent Village. Chrissy?
The department's requesting to purchase a new light for one that was knocked down in Patuxent Village. I do need to amend the vendor only, not the dollar amount. The vendor spec lines only does, they do everything but do the billing.
So I'm sorry, they do what? I couldn't hear you.
They do everything. They're a sales agent in the New England, the email that I had included. They're a sales agent for the New England territory, so they're responsible for all the sales efforts, quotations, and processing orders, but they don't take part in the billing. So for us to pay the proper vendor, I need to amend the vendor.
And this is on the replacement of that light?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's actually two vendors because one provides the pole and one provides the lamp top. So the vendor for the pole would be Spring City Electrical in the amount of $3,270. And then the vendor for the light top is New Stamp Lighting in the amount of $2,670. So the dollar amount doesn't change, just who the purchase orders would be issued to. And this is being covered by the trust, so it is coming out of the insurance code.
So the dollar, would you say the dollar amount is going to be changed?
Does not change.
Okay.
Just the vendors that we have to pay.
All right, so you're looking at $5,940.
Yes.
So my question is from a timely manner of handling this claim. And this was an accident that occurred from an uninsured motorist back in December 2017. Why did it take 2 years for the city to pursue this?
Well, I think the issue is that it didn't, didn't go through the proper channels when it happened. And so there actually was a resident that had requested the light pole must be near her home, and requested that it get replaced. So after some investigating, we found a police report. We found, the person, finance contacted the trust, and they have agreed to cover it, even though it is some time has passed.
But didn't we have a police report on this accident?
See, I don't,
we know it's an uninsured motorist, so we had to have a police report.
There was a police report done, apparently, but if it doesn't come to me or the finance department, we don't know about it, you know.
I see.
So this one, for whatever reason, just didn't get reported properly, and then we ended up coming across it by a resident.
So there's, for a street light, I'm thinking about a recent accident in my area where I got a pole snapped at the bottom. There's no procedure for DPW other than if we see it or if someone calls in?
Well, a lot of times what happens is that, obviously, when there's a police report, so unless it's a hit and run, the police department will notify the person in charge of that particular item. In this case, it happens to be building maintenance is actually responsible for them, which is, it's not the highway department. So if the person who's in charge of building maintenance doesn't say, hey, you know, we had this accident over the weekend or whenever it happened, and it doesn't come to us, and then we don't know about it.
So do we know if the person in charge of building maintenance back in 2017 got notice of this light? Well,
that person's no longer here,
no longer
so
here.
I can't really speak to that.
Interesting. Okay, I guess on the bright side of it is you still have a little better than a year on the statute of limitations to get this claim paid in the coffers of the city and the taxpayers to be reimbursed, right?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council?
Question.
Councilman
Not a question, an observation. I had a constituent that contacted me about this light post. Apparently, she had been trying to get it replaced. The original provider of those decorative lampposts were out of business, and she ran into a logjam. And then when she contacted me, I contacted the various heads of the department, and they were able to locate the police report, and that was all done in the past 3 weeks to get it here. So it was from a constituent that I got this information, and that's why we're here tonight.
And the result of the fast-moving councilman in Ward 1.
Sometimes.
Just broke my mic, councilman. Thank you. Okay, any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Sorry, with an amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was
withdrawn.
I'm going to move favorable, but to amend. And Christy, can you just give me the two vendors again?
Yes, the pole. So the bottom of the lamp will come from Spring City Electrical, and the top light portion of the lamp will come from New Stamp Lighting.
Okay. To amend to two vendors, Spring City and New Stamp.
Is it New what?
Stamp?
New Stamp Lighting.
New Stamp. The contract award number stays the same. Favorable action.
Okay, we have a motion on PCR 13919. A motion to amend to two vendors. One is Spring City Electric. One is New Stamp. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Need a motion for favorable action as amended on PCR 139-19.
Move favorable as amended.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, continuing on, we have no minutes to approve. PCR 139 resolution relative to bids. We will move on to PCR 13419 resolution relative to abatements.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. This month we have abatements totaling $32,455.80. Again, most of these, about 80%, are exemption related. So they're things that we offer our residents that they are eligible for. And I'll take questions on the balance if you have any.
Bear with us, if you would, Neil. We have a little extra paperwork in this binder, so just be patient.
No worries.
As we are patient, we need to ask you for your patience. Neil, tell us the amount of those abatements again.
$32,455.80.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Neil, you know what? Just run through us, through with us, the reason for the abatements on the real estate.
Okay, so real estate, again, about 80% of them are exemptions that people are eligible for. So they're senior citizens, they're people that are lower income, so we have the circuit breaker exemption. We've got veterans that served in various wars and conflicts. There are some that are appeals. This is the first round of appeals from the revaluation. So some of these, one thing we're doing that's a little bit different this time is we go out on every appeal. We do a full inspection, we do a full measure, make sure the data is correct, because 90% of the time if the value is wrong, the data is wrong. So we've instituted that policy to make sure we're starting with good information. So most of those corrections that you see here are just a result of changes in data.
So, Neil, I have recently received a call from one of my constituents, and the question come up with abatements amongst other things. So when we approve an abatement, such as we're getting ready to consider here this evening, once that abatement is approved by us for whatever the reason, is the taxpayer, abater, or whatever you want to call it, are they notified?
Yes. What we do, as soon as we get the official notification when the resolution's been signed and forwarded to my office, we send them out a copy of the revised bill, and it gives them the notification. I think the holdup here is the last two meetings. through no fault of your own, but we've got three sets of abatements that are pending tonight, and so it goes back a couple of months. So some people are experiencing larger than normal waiting periods, but yes, everybody gets notified.
That was a great answer, too, by the way, Director, through no fault of ours.
Thank you.
That's really good. Okay, so that was the question that was brought up, and now I can answer it. When we conclude here, I do need to speak with you on a separate issue, okay?
Sure.
Okay, any more questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, and need a motion on PCR 134-19.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. PCR 94-17, our State of Rhode Island Telecommunication Service and Installation of POTS. I spoke about that enough earlier. With regard to another bid, and we are going to continue that until September.
Heavy docket that day.
That's all right. We're going to have a heavier docket until September 16th.
Motion to hold September 16th.
Seconded.
We have appropriately received the motion for favorable action to hold till September 16th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 148-17, a motion to hold till September 16th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. PCR 105-19, resolution to form a commission to study potential means of tax relief for Warwick residents via general exemptions for consideration relative to fiscal year 2021 and thereafter. Councilman Ricks, not drafted.
Request to hold to September 16.
Motion to hold September 16 on behalf of the sponsor.
Seconded.
Councilman, I just want to confirm that is a motion to hold until September 16th?
Correct.
That is the motion. As you wish, sir. We have a motion to hold. Excuse me, one minute. So, Councilman, would there be an objection, or would it be any imposition on you to hold until October 6th? 7th, thank you.
That would be fine.
Okay. So we're going to hold until October 6th. I need to withdraw the motions.
7th.
I'm sorry, 7th. Councilwoman Travis already told me that, too. Thank you both. So we have a motion to hold until October 7th.
Seconded.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Councilman. PCR 112-19, fire apparatus repair. Additional vendor. Who's speaking?
Department is again requesting to add Coastal International. I think we provided all the information that was requested to the committee.
Okay, just tell us what that information was so everybody hears.
The request was for the service, the labor per hour, and then what the percentage is off the pricing. The labor per hour is $132 per hour for all trucks, and it is a 40% discount off the national fleet pricing of the parts.
It was what, please?
40%.
And did we get a copy of the parts?
I will ask them to get one.
But we don't have a copy of the pots?
I don't have it, no.
No. So we don't know what the list price is on those. Okay. Need a motion to hold until October 7th.
Motion to hold October
7th. Seconded.
We have a motion to hold until October 7th. We have a second. Bless you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So, Christy, you're going to get us the list prices on those pots, okay?
Do you want just a sampling of, like,
25 or so pots, okay. as we're doing for them. I'm not looking for 100. I'm looking for the 25 most commonly used pots that you have in the last couple of years. Okay, thank you. Okay, PCR 120-19, 2018 tire repairs and recapping.
Department's again requesting to increase the award, the $25,000. The request was for the invoices for the initial $25,000 that was granted, which I think you should have now. And we clarified that other $20,000.
Okay. So that is true. I am also going to remind you of the accounting I am looking for the last time these tire repairs came up. And this goes back to February or March. I requested an accounting for the differences of monies pertaining to invoices, and I haven't received it yet. So I'm just going to remind you about that one more time. Any other questions on PCR 120-19? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
PCR 124-19, 2020-094, HVAC maintenance repairs for ice rink.
James Scott, Director of Parks and Recreation. We're again recommending award of the bid to American Refrigeration Company.
And what is the difference between your request now and what it was in the past?
I think you'd ask for some additional information, Chairman, regarding you're concerned about the markup on parts, which on the successful bidder was a 50% markup.
That is correct. So, reflective of an $82,000 bid award you were requesting. One vendor had a markup on parts of 15%. The other vendor had a markup of parts of 50%. The low bidder had hourly rates, particularly in those times when things break down, which is on the weekends, on the holidays, you know, all the inconvenient times. They had an hourly rate of 130 somewheres in there, and the vendor you were recommending had an hourly rate of $273. And that, My question to you was, what amount of the $82,000 is reflective in the pots?
From looking at several of the bills over the past couple years, it looks like the overwhelming majority of what we paid to the previous vendor was for labor, and parts tended to be of the smaller nature, things like filters, pipes and tubing, things like that. There was, you know, occasionally there is a major expenditure. For example, we had to replace the valves in the compressors, which were expired. I believe they're good for 5 years. So that was like $7,000 or $8,000 right when I came on board. But in general, it seems the parts are replaced, just sort of your oil change and filter types of parts. And then when you get into bigger things, that's every several years, or that is, if you get way into the life cycle of the machine, it can be capital expenditure. You're talking bigger dollars. But you can also, if you want to circumvent, you can order parts directly from the manufacturer. I could come for council approval on that.
Okay, so you're saying that the majority of the $82,000 that you are asking us to approve is reflective on labor, not on pots. Correct?
Correct. It appears that labor is the bigger part of that. But also the calculus is that if we're moving into preventative maintenance and they're coming on a quarterly schedule, it's going to cut down on the labor, because what happens is we're addressing things proactively, where before, you know, they're coming on weekends and times when, you know, things are breaking.
Just bear with me, because I'm looking for that bid. Anyone have it handy that shows the breakdowns and the monies? Thank you. Okay, so we're still at the issue where you're asking this committee to approve American over North Star. And on every single item, American is higher on the hourly rate. My concern, and by the way, let me read to you on the hourly labor rate. Normal hours in this one particular item is $108.50 for North Star. American is $146. Overtime hours, $135 for North Star, $219 for American. Weekend and holidays is $135 North Star and $292 for American. That's significant difference.
I agree,
Hold
Chair.
On. Oh. You said you're working on a plan for preventative maintenance.
So
let me finish, and then you can speak to the questions. So your goal is to have a preventative maintenance program that's going to require less service. Is that a correct assumption?
That's correct, Chairman.
Okay. So if you are going to engage in an in-house preventative maintenance program, is that correct? Your staff,
well,
DPW, whoever in the city is doing the stuff, it's in-house, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the preventative maintenance I wrote into the bid, so the idea is that it's scheduled, and the reason, mm-hmm. and you're right, I've both companies, American Refrigeration and North Star, are new bidders that I add to the list. I'm psyched that they both bid. They're both excellent companies. I'd be glad to have either one. the way I rewrote the bid, it made 50% the presentation of an appendix that shows preventative maintenance. And American Refrigeration submitted that, North Star didn't. So, but you are right, North Star's rates came in lower. I vetted both companies. They both have excellent reputations. I'd be thrilled to have either one of them.
Okay.
But just the way I wrote the bid sort of angled us into American Refrigeration because that's what I asked for.
I have a very difficult time in awarding a bid where, in some cases, it's more than double the hourly rate of the lower bidder. You have told us that the lion's share of the $82,000 is not in pots, it's in materials. And that's a very valid point because my issue before was 15% versus 50 markup. You kind of dismissed that because you said it's basically inconsequential on pots. It's little stuff, you know, nickel dime stuff. But I've got a really difficult problem in supporting these numbers that are so drastically different, and especially where you just stated that you'd be happy to have either one of them, and either one of them have good credentials and are good companies. So for me, I can't justify supporting American when you've testified that there's very little pots, so we don't have an issue with us having to pay anyone a lot more money, but yet it's only a 15% markup on the inconsequential pots that you do need. But there's significant differences in the hourly rate, and you've convinced me that either company is good. You'd be happy to have either company because that's what you said. So for me, I'm not going to be able to support American. I will support North Star for all the reasons I stated. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? I'm going to make a motion to amend PCR 124-19, amend the award to North Star for the bid.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. We'll move as amended. PCR 124-19 as amended. I make a motion to approve as amended.
Second.
We have a motion to amend. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 132-19, resolution regarding actuarial services. Not drafted. Council President Marola. Resolution regarding actuarial services, not drafted. Hold till?
Hold till first meeting in October.
Hold till October 7th at the request of the sponsor.
Second.
Motion made, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. It is now 7:02 and the Finance Committee is adjourned. Thank you very much. We'll go right into your committee, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The time is now 7:02. Health, Education, and Welfare Committee is now open. Item number one, PCO 3-18, Rocky Point Ordinance Protect the Rights of Property Owners. Not passed, not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold till October 7th.
Second.
Motion made, seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item number two, PCR 69-18, resolution to establish a Buckeye Brook Advisory Committee. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold till September 7th. I'm sorry, October 7th.
Motion made to hold till October 7th.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Health Education Committee is now closed. The time is 7:03.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Mr. President, seeing that it's 7 o'clock, can we open the meeting and then go back to committees? We used to do that all the time. We'll open the meeting at 7.
I'm going to defer to Councilor Harrington on that, on the council rules, on whether we're required to open the meeting or not, or we go through committees.
The committee meetings have to be concluded before you can conduct any business. I know some prior council presidents used to open the meeting, do the national anthem and the pledge, and then close the meeting to go back to the committees. Other council presidents have opted not to open the meeting until the committee meetings were concluded.
You don't want to open the meeting, Mr. President?
Councilwoman, I don't want to waste time with the Pledge of Allegiance and then go back to a meeting for finance or whatever. We only have a few other committees to meet, and then we can start the meeting. So I think it'd be faster doing it that way. Thank you.
Okay, just about after 3 months, I'd like to see the meeting open pretty soon. Thank you.
So, Councilwoman, I mean, we can have this debate, but in June, we had one meeting because of what had happened with schools. And we had all that carried over into the one meeting in July, where we usually have two meetings in a month. And we had one meeting in August because of the summer recess, where we usually have two meetings. And I've called a special meeting on schools within 6 months. And at the request of council members, I'm going to call another special meeting to deal with the five-year plan. So we're moving things forward. Thank you.
I call the Ordinance Committee at 7:06. First up is PCO 10-19, an ordinance in regards to water discharge. This is not drafted. Councilman Lattiser. There's a motion to hold to October 7th. We have moved and second. All those in favor? Aye. Two is PCO 13-19, an ordinance in regard to no parking on Chapman's Ave. This is my legislation. I'm going to hold this to October 7th. If I can get a second on that, my motion. Second. It's been moved and second. All those in favor? Aye. Third is PCO 15-19, an ordinance in regards to health care. This is also not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold September 16th.
There's a motion to hold. I mean, there's a request to hold to September 16th. Do I have a motion? And a second. It's been moved and second. All those in favor? Aye. Thank you. I close the Ordinance Committee at 7:07.
Public Safety will convene at 7:08. We don't have any minutes to accept. So first thing is PCR 16-18, tree damage claims. Councilman McAllister.
Request to hold to October 7th.
Request has been made to hold to October 7th. Do we have a motion?
Motion to hold till October 7th on behalf of the sponsor.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next is PCR 96-19, a claim for Brandon Bovill. Is Brandon Bovill here? So normally we'd actually hold this, but we do have pending legislation so that we no longer have that process. So I guess a better question here is, does anyone on the committee have any questions regarding this claim, given that there are three estimates and a positive recommendation from the DPW?
I apologize, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, to uphold the standard of... We have a lot of people who come before us and wait. I'll leave it to you, but I would feel obligated. This is the third time we gave them three meetings. I know that the city clerk sent him letters indicating that his presence was requested. I feel obligated to put a motion for denial in the claim.
Given the pending legislation to get rid of the attendance requirement, I'd rather we hold it, but okay. To each their own. Either way. Any members of the committee have any questions?
Quick comment. In light of the pending legislation, I would support a motion to hold.
If anyone wants the motion, this will be.
I would make such a motion to hold for till September 16th.
Is there a second? All right, I'll second it then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All against?
No.
Next, we have claim of Barbara Flagg, PCR 126-19. No worries. If you just get close to the mic and state your name for the record,
okay.
Please.
My name is Barbara Flagg from North Kingstown.
Now, it looks like you submitted three estimates. Your affidavit appears to be filled out correctly. And your car was damaged by a pothole on Cohasset Road.
Correct.
Do any members of the committee have any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions, but I want to explain that our ordinance does say that upon approval of this claim, we are obligated by ordinance to pay the lowest estimated amount supplied.
Okay, but the estimates were just for the tire. It wasn't for the mounting and balancing. And the charge that Pep Boys gave me was for the balancing and mounting and the whole shebang, because I couldn't drive my car. I had to be towed there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman.
Chairman?
Go ahead.
I see that a total of one invoice plus three estimates have been provided. So four total. City of Warwick only requires three. And it seems to me that because the submission of the fourth was entirely voluntary, we shouldn't hold that against her. Therefore, I would move for approval of the third second lowest estimate, which would be the third, in the amount of $84.99.
I would like to say one thing. This was a very dangerous situation. I had a 91-year-old and an 81-year-old in the car. I couldn't drive the car into a safe spot where I could change the tire or AAA could change the tire. I don't know if a policeman happened to go by or someone called the policeman. I couldn't even get out of my car because there was no cars were this close to me. On the other side, there was woods. So if it wasn't for that policeman coming and helping me out, it could have been a real dangerous situation. He was very nice. He drove my mother and aunt, who was also 81, to Pep Boys. AAA drove me to Pep Boys, which they don't usually do. So, you know, I didn't have any choice but to spend $147. I wouldn't be able to drive my car. It was, and they did fix the pothole immediately after I left, which was good. The policeman asked for them to do that. So I would really like my $147. That's my speech.
Mr. Chairman?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were asking counsel for... Okay.
I was going to ask if we have any ability to deviate from going with the lowest estimate.
But I wasn't told that the estimate had to include, the balancing and mounting. It was just to buy the tire. So...
While he checks in on that, I have a question for you. If it turns out we don't have the ability to deviate, would you be willing to get the estimates, including the labor, submit them?
Sure, absolutely.
You wouldn't have to show up here again if all goes well?
Sure.
So hopefully one way or another we'll get it sorted out.
And just so you'll understand my position on this, the reason why I was standing by the ordinance please understand that we've had people come before us and we've always gone with the lowest bidder, but I do agree with what the chairman said and I'm willing to agree with that depending on.
Well, if that's the case, then I'll accept it. My bid was just for the tire.
Understood.
Not for everything, so.
I agree, yeah.
I didn't have the ability.
Okay.
Great.
I'll support it.
Did you move yet?
Let's see. I'll withdraw my motion and... I'll move to hold to September 16 to provide time for two estimates on the alignment and any other necessary costs relative to the tire that were not included in those earlier provided estimates.
Thanks a lot.
I second that. Is September 16th enough time for you?
Absolutely.
Thank
I'll
you.
Do it tomorrow.
Mr.
Thank
Chairman,
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Seconded.
Thank you, Ms. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next we have PCR 127-19, claim for Danilo. And forgive me if I don't try your last name. I don't want to butcher it. Can you just state your name for the record, please?
Hi, my name is Danilo Reyes Noguera. I'm here for a pothole claim, rims and tire.
All right, yeah, I see that you submitted actually five claims, three for the rim, two for the tire. You did the affidavit appropriately, it looks like. I'm not sure if it's been stated yet tonight, but just so you know, the maximum we can provide under state law is $300. We don't have the ability to go higher. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry about that, which is...
Does anyone on the committee have any questions?
No, I'm all set.
Anyone on the council have any questions? Any members of the public have any questions? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move to approve in the amount of the state allowed maximum for a claim of this type, $300.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank
set.
You.
Last one is PCR 128-19, claim from Michelle St. Ong. It's not coming, right? So we already have word from Ms. St. Ong that she's not attending tonight. Are we able to hear it in light of the pending legislation, or do we want to hold it until the legislation passes? I'd prefer to do it, but... She was here the other night, bear in mind. She has been attending.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'm playing catch-up right now. I do remember she was here, and I have no objection to approving this claim, Mr. Chairman.
And she submitted the required estimates. She filled out her affidavit appropriately. And it looks like we'll actually be the state limit will be less than the damage to the vehicle. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move for favorable action in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Cool. Believe that is everything for us. Public safety is done at 7:19 p.m.
Agenda is PCR 134-18, a resolution to create a charter review committee. Councilman Lattiser, it's not drafted.
I'm sorry,
Charter review commission.
Hold till second meeting in October.
What's that date? On behalf of the sponsor, I recommend... hold till October 21st.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second item is PCR 129-19, a resolution to the state of Rhode Island to reimburse all costs to the city of Warwick for the Buckeye Brook project.
I move.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very simply, this is a four-year process we've been trying to get done, and once again, we had delays. I'm not looking to point the finger. I just want it done. It's state property. Let them pay for it. It's got to get done, and we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time on this, and we got to move forward. Thank you.
Just one. Fully agree with Councilman Howe. It's a shame that they already haven't taken action on this, especially given that they're part of the reason for the delay.
Anyone else on the council have any comment? Anyone from the public wish to be heard on this? State your name, please.
Good evening, everybody, members of the committee. People from City Council who were not on the committee who were here, also members of the public, people who feel this well overdue project. I think we can all agree that a lot of people want this project done. I'm not going to point any fingers, although I could. And I also want to clarify that this evening I'm not speaking for myself. I'm speaking as president of the Bucky Brook Coalition, who has been vetted by the state of Rhode Island to be the spokesperson for the watershed that is damaged. We have not gotten respect from the City Council. We've tried to help. The whole purpose of that state watershed group in conjunction with the Rivers Council and DEM is that we have people with local knowledge who are experts. We have engineers, we have biologists, we have wetland scientists. I have my friend Larry, who went to Pilgrim High School with me, who's Vice President of Environmental at Camp Dresser McKee, who is in charge of some of the largest watershed districts in Florida, is an advisor to the Bucky Brook Coalition. We've tried to help. Many of you sitting before us tonight know that it was Paul Earnshaw, my Vice President of the Bucky Brook Coalition, who discovered the Phragmites 4 years ago in September. I immediately put together a plan. I went and met with our lake management contractor. Up in Worcester, we picked out equipment. I sat down with Mr. DePasquale. I went through a plan, which Mr. DePasquale supported. I also opined 4 years ago that the way the city was going out the project, that it would be sometime in 2019, the permit would be issued from DEM. The earliest that work would be done would be September 2019, which is here now. That was my prediction 4 years ago, and now here we are. This work is very, very seasonal. It has to start in September. Now, because of the permit process, this work will not begin the earliest until another year from now. With that, I wonder why the city's even involved. Before Mr. Lattiser's Finance Committee, I opined that they would spend a lot of money and get nowhere, and that's what happened. This is on state property. Originally, it was said it was DOT property, and I told everybody it was not DOT property. That's back from before, when the Airport Corporation was under DOT, and they haven't been under there for a very, very long time. I think before the city goes any further with this, that the people involved in the city looking at this need to understand what's in place in the state right now, what DOT does, what the Department of Administration does. What DEM does is also what the General Assembly does and can and can't do. Now, when I look at this resolution, I think it's well-intended, but it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You've got DEM asking the state for money. The state does not work for DEM. It's the other way around. The other thing that happened, there was a resolution that passed to ask DOT to fund it. And I was at a meeting up at the State House that day, and they saw the resolution. They said, Mike, did you see the City Council's asking DOT, do they know what's going on with this? And unfortunately, this is like playing a game of poker where you're showing your hand and you don't know what you're doing. And I don't mean to be critical, but I think that the Department of Planning should be involved. And I think people like the Bucky Brook Coalition should be involved. I think, you know, Mr. Lattiser proposed an advisory committee. We don't need an advisory committee. You've already got the Rivets Council. You've got the Bucky Brook Coalition. We've already done Phragmites work in Bucky Brook successfully. We did a four-year project. And my only comment on this tonight beyond that is I don't know where it's going to go. I just hate to see this passed, and then you get an answer back from DEM 3 months from now that that's not their role. Their role is not to ask the state for funding for this. DEM is mostly a regulatory agency. And I also pointed out back in Mr. Lattiser's finance committee, when the funds got approved to pay EA Engineering, that they were being repaid for work that they were already supposed to have done. And it was also work that I identified that could not be done. So other than that, I don't know what else to say. If anybody has any questions, you're welcome to call me and ask questions. This project needs to get put back on the right track. It's doable. The current scope of work that's in there is not going to fix the problem. It's a Band-Aid. And when I looked at the proposed scope of work, the first red flag that I saw was there were plats and lots further upstream where there was no scope of work in this Phragmites. And I asked the question, why no scope of work? And they said, oh, because the blockage is down here. No, geez, I'm sorry. Off it goes. The problem is if you don't remove from that area, the root mat is just going to spread the following year. You're going to spend $1 million, you're going to have the problem the following year. But there is a way to do it. Anybody wants to talk to me, I'm available. And Mr. Cawley, we've had plenty of discussions. I'm glad I've got your confidence. And I think also I want to thank Mr. Marola, too, because when I spoke once before, Mr. Marola said, listen to Mike. He's got a lot of experience with this. I've worked for the Army Corps of Engineers. I know what they want. I know what needs to be done. And I'm willing to share that as a volunteer, which I've done before, and we've gotten a lot of work done. That's all I can say. If you need anything else, Mr. Ricks knows how to get a hold of me. Any questions, let me know.
Sir, you're very familiar to
Thank
us,
you.
But can you please state your name?
Sure. For the record, Michael Zarum, Z like zebra, Z-A-R-U-M, president of the Bucky Brook Coalition, which is the state-designated watershed council for the Bucky Brook watershed. Thank you.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next item on the agenda is PCR 130-19, a resolution in regards to the 2020 council calendar. Councilman Lattiser.
Repeat that, Mr. Chair.
This is the resolution relating to the 2020 council calendar.
Move favorable action.
Can I ask a question of the sponsor? Could we move the two dates in August back, June, from June 8th to June 15th and the 22nd to the 29th because of it following so closely after the budget hearings, the last three times I've been through it, I have not looked forward to going to that first meeting in June.
I'd weigh in with the council president. If no one else has objections, I don't have any objections. Council president, on the 2020 council calendar,
I have moved to amend it for June 8th to June 15th and June 22nd to June 29th just because of the budget meetings that will be finishing the week before the first meeting or the weekend before.
So the last meeting in May is going to be?
Been saying, May 18th.
May 18th, so it's going to be the next meeting is going to be June 15th.
Correct.
Okay.
I don't have an objection with regard to the fact that we're going to be in budget hearings for four or five, you know, probably 3 or 4 days anyway. What I am concerned about is if our last meeting is May 18th and we move our next meeting to June 15th, it will be a month between the council's ability to vote on issues, in particular financial issues that the administration might need. So I don't know if we should go out 4 weeks. Maybe we could go out 2.5 or 3, but that's, you know, that's my suggestion. Otherwise, the administration could be in a position where they don't have any items voted on for close to a month.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps we could hold this until the next meeting so we can all kick it around. And we got so much on the plate now. Just hold this thing until the next meeting.
That's not an emergency. Yeah, it's not an emergency. We could hold it.
Motion to hold per request of the sponsor until September 24th. What
was 16th. 16th.
16th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Speaking to the mic, please.
Just waiting for it to turn on. Badly in need of revision, and as Councilman Gallucci always used to point out, other municipalities do this in a similar way to what I'm proposing, where people don't have to show up just because for the sake of showing up. And so rather than getting rid of the potential for attendance altogether, because I know too much change at once is never a good thing and can have problems, instead proposing just have attendance be required when there's a question on a claim. That way, it only makes sense, because otherwise, people are showing up just to stand there, nod their head, and then leave. It doesn't make sense for anyone, especially after these summer meetings where people are waiting hours and hours and hours, potentially to not even have their claim addressed. And then when they do have it addressed, just for us to say, okay, you're all set. If I was them, I'd be infuriated. And so I think we needed to change this, and I think my proposal is pretty modest.
Take it from your discussion and my reading it that the claimants would not have to appear unless the council were to request them to appear and that they would receive a notice that their claim may not be recommended for approval as one of the reasons why they want to appear at a meeting. Does that sum up the changes?
Assuming I heard you correctly, then yes.
By showing up, they'd have an opportunity to be heard concerning any problems that anyone on the council may have with their petition.
Right, and that way, we never have to worry about the situation based on this wording where people are getting denied without the opportunity to show up. So no matter what, they will have the opportunity if it turns out there's an issue that someone has. It won't go by the wayside and they just get shafted.
With the sponsor's permission, I would like to request to be added as a co-sponsor.
Of course.
Anyone else on the Councilman Rick would be added as a co-sponsor, and is there anyone else that wants to be heard on the council? Anyone from the public want to be heard? Does anyone from the public want to be heard? Entertain a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.